Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good Thursday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. You are listening live to The Fan, and we are in our Half Street Studios.
We are back.
Back in the nation's capital. Flight was seamless. Now, a lot of people were wondering what would happen if the boys missed their flight. I guess we'll never know.
We won't know. Everything broke right. I mean, you could just draft a quarterback in the sixth round because it worked out for Tom Brady that time. Or you could have best practices. You could give yourself enough time for any kind of flexibility. You could not be sitting there waiting for your check when your group is called for boarding. Just be there. Just be there for travel.
Plenty of time to get to the airport. We had a sit-down dinner. Enjoyed a nice meal at Chili's with the fellas.
Chili's 2.
Was it a Chili's 2?
It was a 2. T-double-O. See the play on words there? See what they did there?
I don't, yeah. Actually.
It's Chili's in addition.
Okay.
But it's also 2.
All right.
You see what I'm saying?
I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
I was just so busy trying to get my hands on a cold beverage for my parched throat. But it was a great trip. Want to thank the Nationals for making it worth our time, the accommodations, and just the hospitality. They were awesome. But that's what we got to do. We got to get out of the office every now and then.
Agreed.
We got to get the boys on the road. We got to enjoy some fellowship and some camaraderie. Little reminder of why we're doing this thing. Just some dudes out there having fun, enjoying sport.
Fill up the tank a little bit, right? I mean, listen, it's going to happen. Like, I came in, I sound like Woody Allen. You know, I got, like, the stupid travel cold because I had the audacity to sit on a plane or, like, go to a house or do anything. But, yeah, it's worth the cost of admission, right? I mean, this is all the little tax we pay for something pretty special. So, I mean, I was complaining to my wife last night when I got home, like, whatever time, 11-something. I was like, oh, no, I'm getting a cold. I can feel it in my sinuses, whatever. And she stopped me. She's like, are you really complaining about the fact that your job took you to spring training in West Palm Beach, Florida?
Did she say that to you?
Yeah. And I was like, well, I'm just trying to. And she goes, you went and talked to baseball players, watched baseball. Now we didn't really get to because of the rain, but whatever. She went to talk to baseball players, talked about sports on the radio, and we're doing it in Florida. Well, I was here. Shut up. I was like, love you. And I will be in the corner. You
good
are correct.
Point.
Yeah. I was like, well said. Good for you.
I have nothing to add, Your Honor.
I agree to the terms.
We've got Mackenzie Gore of the Nationals on the show today at 5. I think he's going to start the home opener. Now, I'm making that up completely. Like, that's speculating.
That's pulled from your tuchus a little bit, but I agree with you, actually.
Here's my logic on this. I think they want somebody who's going to move the needle with the fan base to start the first home game. That's either him or Josiah Gray. So one of those two guys is either going to pitch the first or the second game. I would start the season in Cincinnati, giving the opening day assignment to JoJo Gray, who was the all-star last year, who's off to a good start this spring. And then Corbin would throw game 2 for me. They may continue to do the opening day assignment for Patrick Corbin thing that they've liked to do the last few years. I'm kind of moving on from that. But I think whoever doesn't start the opening game or doesn't pitch in Cincinnati, you save that guy, whether that's Gray or Gore, because those are the two guys really that the fan base would be most juiced up to see in the home opener, which is game 4 of the season.
That is right.
They're at Cincinnati for 3. The weird day off, you're not even going to need a fifth starter probably for a couple of weeks. So that's either Trevor Williams or could be Jake Irvin. But my guess is Mackenzie Gore, who's joining us today at 5 right here on Grant and Danny, is the opening day starter when you're at Nats Park for the first time this season on April Fool's Day, April 1.
A couple other added bonuses, too. And I know there's no restrictions on these guys. The governors are off. But still, young pitcher on the ascent, in terms of Gore, who's had some arm trouble, you can monitor his innings and sort of govern them a little bit more if you put him, quote-unquote, down in the rotation. Once the season starts, to me, the nomer of a number one, a number two, a number three, a number four, it is far less important when you're until you line up for a playoff series, which is not going to happen this year, and that's not who they are. So I don't care what number he is. I'm excited when Mackenzie Gore pitches. So you can monitor that a little bit. You get him some more off days. You've just basically cut off a week plus, potentially, of throwing. So, yeah, it makes sense to sort of do it that way. Plus, as you said, the juice of that home opener on, I believe it's April 1st, right?
Yes, April 1st, home opener, game four. Eric Flack of WUSA TV9 in town is going to come in studio with us at 2:25. He's on his way over here. He was just watching the press conference that the governor had and doing his reporting. But we wanted to have him in studio for a couple of reasons. First, to answer our questions on what is going on with what seems like a now dead opportunity for an arena in Virginia. It's not quite completely pronounced dead. It hasn't perished, but life support might even be too strong. I think it's in a medically induced coma or something. Seems like it's not going to happen. We're going to talk to Eric Flack about that. I also thought it'd be great if he answered people's questions on the phones. I text with him about this a lot and ask him all my questions, and he has all the answers, and he does it in a way that I can understand. As someone who doesn't follow this for a living, isn't a savant when it comes to the Virginia Senate. So I just thought it would be a really instructive, good way to handle what is today probably the biggest story in D.C. sports. We'll get an adult in the studio with us and a grown-up who can actually...
Smart idea.
Educate.
Yeah, I mean, as we're landing last night, we're all like looking at each other on the plane going, did you see this? And we, of course, all saw it. I mean, that's a pretty major development. This is one of those type of things where whatever side you're on, that's how you feel about this. If that makes any sense.
Do you mean politically?
No,
or do you mean just whether you want the arena or not?
I guess both, right? So first for the arena-specific stuff. If you're anti the arena being in that spot, you're doing that dance of joy, and your finger guns in the air. You think this is awesome. How funny is this? That's great. If you wanted it, you're going, well, that doesn't seem real good. That doesn't help anybody. Whatever. Then same thing with politics, right? If you're on one team, you're going, yeah, that was awesome. And if you're on the other team, you're going, I can't believe you did that. It's just sort of, you know, we're sort of dealing with the former here on this radio program, where I'm more concerned about what it means for teams that I care about winning again.
Yeah, it's just a reminder for me every now and then in sports when the games we cover or the business of those sports delve somewhat into the political wing, that it's so hard to have any discourse without people having to kind of pick their side and defend their turf. And that, it's just, for me, it's a big picture point on where we're at kind of culturally, societally. It's just frustrating to me. Like, my annoyance that this didn't get debated or voted upon doesn't mean that I disagree with a senator or agree with a senator on the rest of their policies. I mean, I'm getting yelled at last night by people going, these are the accomplishments in this person's career that you're upset with. I'm sure they've had a great career.
Cool.
That's wonderful. I'm glad that you like them, and I'm glad that they've accomplished a lot. I'm not anti-Capital One Arena, for the record. I go there more than a lot of the people that are listening and yelling at me, probably. I love going to the arena, to Capitals games. I don't go to nearly as many Wizards games, but I go to those too. I took my kid to Monster Jam recently. I go to shows there. I'm at Capital One Arena all the time. If we're at Capital One Arena as fans watching our teams 20 years from now, I'll still be there. I'm not saying that it's a terrible venue and they've got to get out of there. My comp is, it's a car. I like the car. I've had the car for 27 years. It gets me where I need to go. There's nothing really wrong with the car. If I have the possibility of a brand new amazing car that smells like a brand new amazing smell and has all the bells and whistles, that's exciting to me. And I think, as a sports fan who wants new arenas and stadiums as often as I can get them, the best path forward is real estate and space, and doing that in Virginia probably, because there's nowhere to build out in D.C. You're just kind of renovating something. So I'm fine with Capital One Arena. No problem. It's a good car. But the possibility of a brand new, really gorgeous, fresh off the lot, silly with 2 miles on it, I was excited about that. Please forgive me. Just forgive me.
It's fine with me, buddy. But I know that no one will hear that the right way, and I'm sure they'll scream at you. Here's what I'm going to say about this real quick. I just try to think of it at a very local, little teeny tiny Grant and Danny world level. Imagine our boss. I don't mean like our boss. I mean our boss, who's in charge of a lot of people and holds a lot of futures in her hands with a lot of decisions that she makes or doesn't make, et cetera, right? Imagine there was a deal that involved our radio station or others that some people didn't like, other people liked a lot. And let's say that deal was killed and she felt responsible for it. Reasonable people can disagree about the value of that deal or otherwise. I need a little bit less BuzzFeed meme culture stuff. I need a little bit less standing over the gravestone, doing a who did this with a peace sign so that people can retweet it and go, yas, queen, enough of that crap. I don't like that at all. That part bothered me a lot. These are people's livelihoods. These are things that a lot of people are interested in. You could disagree with the stadium going to Alexandria. A lot of people do. I think that's a reasonable case.
Yeah, by the way, there are great totally debates to be had. I had a lot of people last night in the discourse I was going back and forth with. You know, we shouldn't be paying for the stadium. Reasonable take.
Yeah, I think it's a very reasonable opinion.
Billionaires should buy their own stadium.
I agree with that.
Good conversation to have. There's all kinds of different discussions. My point was and is, and we'll talk to Eric Flack about this in a minute, my read on this is that one person essentially wanted nothing to do with this, has the ability to stop it, and did in a way where the normal discourse, where there's a debate and the opportunity to sell this stadium within the Senate and to get people to go, oh, well, that's not as bad as I thought. Oh, that might help my constituents more than I thought it would. That never happened. And not only was there no debate, there will be no vote on it at that level. And I guess for me, as someone who, again, last night I was called every name in the book, and congratulations, I guess, as someone who does not cover politics or the state Senate, it just seems like there's a better way to do it, that if one person in Portsmouth makes up their mind early on in the process, I don't want a stadium, no one else in Virginia can get a stadium, I guess. That's kind of where we're at. Now, that's oversimplified. We'll ask a grown-up. Eric Flack's going to join us, as I said, in just a couple of minutes here on Grant and Danny. A couple other things we got to hit on, though, on the sports side before we get to him. The Capitals traded Joel Edmondson today. This is the second trade in 3 days for Washington. The sell-off continuing, Danny. Their 30-year-old big-body defenseman makes a little under $1 million. They pick up a couple draft picks in the deal, mid-round selections. They're not going to blow it up. Really, I don't know that you can blow it up at this point.
With what? Like, how would you do it?
Exactly. But they are trading off some pieces at this point, effectively ending their playoff push. The questions I have are goaltender Charlie Lindgren, center Nick Dowd.
Max Pacioretty, maybe?
Pacioretty, I think, goes. I'd be surprised if he didn't, because they're not going to demand much back.
Yeah, 35 last year of his deal.
The only year of his deal, yeah. He's a hired gun. But, right, I mean, he's a pending free agent. They can get a pick for him, you do that. But they want a one for Dowd. They want a one for Lindgren. My guess is those two guys don't get traded, and this is more of a rearranging of some deck chairs. But here's where I'll give Brian McClellan credit. They have done a really good job, even though it has not resulted in postseason wins or anything, at just continuing to add picks and add to the system. We saw another title last year for the Hershey Bears. You've seen, I think, better production from some of the back-of-the-roster young guys like Beck Malenstein that they've called up this year. This, like, while they can't rebuild full-on because Ovi's chasing the record, but let's trade some veterans and get some picks back. You want to go all in or not. This is kind of the worst way to rebuild in sports. It takes the longest, makes it hardest to win. But I think they're threading the needle in a way that has been fairly effective at improving the system. The problem is they just don't have dynamic players, really.
Yep.
I think they've got a lot of guys that are third line, fourth line types that they continue to draft and develop. They're a little light on the top six guys. Maybe Connor McMichael or, Hendrix LaPierre, Maresh Nishenko. Maybe they got a couple of those guys eventually. But it just seems like more that they've got a lot of the depth players. And as they free up money, perhaps they go out and they spend to add the goal scoring and the talent up top.
Right. I mean, if you didn't have the Governors on, and by the way, it's very legitimate. I'm not criticizing that at all. But if Ovechkin wasn't chasing down an unfathomable record, then I would say, what are we doing? We're wasting time. Stop wizardsing this thing and trying to build from the middle and try to see if you can get in the play-in tournament, a.k.a. the 8 seed or whatever. I know hockey's different. teams get hot all the time with a goaltender and do unexpected things, but I generally still am of the practice, let's try to build an excellent team and take our chances. They're not really able to do that right now, but with the governors on, this is as good as you can do it.
I agree with that. And don't you, well, I don't want to lead the witness. Do you think most Caps fans are okay with this? Meaning,
going. I think it's 50-50.
Oh, I see. I think it's like 80-20.
That don't like it?
No, that like it.
Oh, I see.
That want Ovi to go get the record, that are okay not basically, you know, blowing the whole thing up and trading everybody around Ovechkin and making it harder for him to get the record. I mean, the Caps fans I talk to, certainly the people, and maybe it's just that they're the diehards and the marks, the ones that are at games and the one that are wearing sweaters. For the most part, I think they are kind of content to try to get into the playoffs and see what happens, as they've been doing the last couple of years, unsuccessfully, obviously. But looking forward to the chase where Ovi goes and finds a way to break this record.
Because the way I view it is, and I think a lot of fans, it sounds like in that ilk, do too, is primary goal is different than in every other sport. Right now, the primary goal is him getting the record. The secondary goal is best team around him possible, make the postseason, see what happens, right? Like, get some extra games in that way. But not at the expense of maybe a season or two seasons that it would take to fully restock your system, bring up a bunch of young players, try to find some more top six guys to play with him and run with him. I mean, look at all the running mates he's had on his lines over just this year. It's been a rotating cast.
They traded a third and a seventh to get Edmondson when they brought him in. Then you get the production and what you got out of him, and they get a third and a fifth when they moved him.
It's a profit.
So to me, that's a win kind of all around in that transaction. By the way, I'm just seeing that the Capitals announced literally 2 minutes ago that Hunter Shepard's been recalled from Hershey. So I don't want to get ahead of ourselves speculating, but they're calling up a goalie from the minors.
So I think Kemper is out with an illness.
Sick?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that could be one of two things, right? What you're talking about.
Yeah.
Could be, okay, now Lindgren's on the move, or it could be they need a body.
Well, if he's sick and unavailable, then they definitely need a body. But everyone's keeping all eyes on Lindgren. So we'll continue to monitor him, Nick Dowd, as we get closer to tomorrow's deadline. In the NFL, big news out of Denver. The Broncos have released Justin Simmons today. Here's why this matters to you guys as Commanders fans, I think. The safety market's getting flooded. Kim Curl is not going to get as much money as people originally thought, in my opinion. Simmons, by the way, was a Manassas, Virginia kid originally, now 30 years old, former third-round pick back in 2016, has been a multi-time Pro Bowler. In fact, he's been a second-team All-Pro, so like ranked the third or fourth best safety in the NFL, for three straight seasons in four of the last 5 years. With all due respect to Cam Curl, he's not on this level. There continue to be quality safeties cut. We saw a transition tag on a safety set at around $13 million that was supposed to have gotten $15 to $17 million according to the projections. I'm starting to think Cam Curl is not going to get nearly as much money as we were anticipating. And maybe he hits the market, looks around, and says, all right, well, if I'm going to make this, then I'll just take it from Washington.
There are names on that safety market. I know Jamal Adams isn't the same player that he was, and I'm not saying he is, but still, that's a huge name who made almost $18 million against the cap last year. Justin Simmons, Buda Baker, Eddie Jackson, Condre Diggs, Kevin Byard, Micah Hyde, Rayshon Jenkins, Jordan Poyer from the Bills. That's not nothing, right? This is now a position that has been devalued in the eyes of the NFL. I mean, it just is. I mean, look at the proofs in the pudding. A, what that franchise tag is worth in terms of a one-year deal. It's not what quarterback, receiver, defensive end, pass rusher, some of these others are. And then you look at some of these names in the marketplace. These are mainstays. These are staples on all pro teams. And they're just out and about right now because teams have to make cuts somewhere.
I see a gentleman who's way too handsome to be a radio guy. That means Eric Flack is here.
Eric Flack.
From Channel 9. So we will have him with us in studio to discuss what looks like, for the moment, a dead bill. And the opportunity for an arena in Virginia blowing up in front of our eyes last night. I will ask him our questions, and if you guys have questions for a reporter who's been on the beat covering this every step of the way, you can call us now to get through to Eric. 800-636-1067 is the number. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Okay,
Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, and thank you for making Grant and Danny part of your Thursday. You're locked into The Fan. Show's brought to you, as always, by our friends, the law firm of Condori and Murad, the official G&D show sponsor. They'll help protect your assets, update your will and trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com and mention the show to get a discount. kmlawyers.com. In fact, my parents are meeting with them on Monday to finalize some paperwork.
That is grown-up business right there.
I appreciate Condori and Murad taking care of the Paulsons. So good enough for my parents, good enough for all of our listeners for sure. Yesterday was big. We're on a plane. I'm trying to follow along best I can via wireless. And we get off the plane to find out that the potential for a new arena in Virginia is no more. There's plenty of people that will be excited about that. This was a hotly contested, very divisive thing we talked about on the phones. A lot of people in Maryland and in D.C. specifically did not want the team to move. Plenty of people in Virginia, I'm sure right around where the arena is going to be, may not have wanted it either. But there were also a lot of people, I would say not nearly as vocal, who were excited about this. And if nothing else, it was a big story on these airwaves because the Capitals and the Wizards might be getting a new state-of-the-art home, and it no longer looks like that's going to be taking place in Virginia for now. With more, let's welcome in Eric Flack. He's an award-winning reporter at Channel 9 in town at WUSA-TV. So, Eric, let's start with what happened yesterday. Why is this thing now no longer going to move forward?
The big headlines yesterday were the fact that, you know, Louise Lucas, who's the senator from Hampton Roads, who was kind of blocking this entire deal from the jump, came out and said that she was not going to be making any sort of deals. There was still a belief that in the end, this really might be more about a toll, a penance, something like that from you know, the governor in response from for her support or her allowing this plan to move through. Once she came out and said, we're going to reach a budget agreement and it is not going to be included in the budget, that was her saying once and for all, this is not going to happen in this budget process. And that's where the spiral of news headlines came from, as well as the flurry of activity, including the governor addressing reporters just about an hour ago. Listen, you know, there was a belief, and I had been told by people who were supportive of this deal, people on Monumental side, that always thought that, listen, we're going to be able to get something done eventually. This is politics. There's a negotiation to go on. I think what they didn't realize or maybe expect was that Louise Lucas, senator from Hampton Roads, was not going to be negotiated with. She dug in her heels and said, this is not going to happen. She blocked debate on it. And when it got to this final budget process, the budget is due to be approved on Saturday, which is kind of a political thing in Richmond. There was an opportunity for a small group of senators and House of Delegate representatives to come together and work out differences in the two versions of the budget. The House version, House of Delegates version, not only had the arena in it, it actually had strong, overwhelming bipartisan support in the House. It wasn't even close. In the Senate, we never really knew how much support it had, because this senator, who is the head of the Finance Committee, blocked all debate on the bill even being considered to be part of the budget. She had that much power. There was this, then, what happened politically this week is that there's a process through which these two sides come together, and presumably everybody who wanted this arena thought that maybe that people on the House side, the delegates, would convince Louise Lucas to put it in, to offer her toll relief, whatever it is that she wanted. And yesterday and today, again, she has come out once and for all and said no.
So she was instrumental, obviously, in it not happening. But she's not acting on her own. I'm wondering, she is doing that because others in the state Senate presumably have told her that they don't want it debated or voted on? Or?
No, not. There's no reporting on that. I mean, there's nobody out there who has come forward and said she is wrong for not allowing this debate. Now, there have been senators, including Scott Surovell of Fairfax County, who said this is not the norm. This doesn't happen. You can oppose legislation. You can hate it. You can talk down and try and defeat it. But you don't just quash debate on it. You don't just block it from even being considered, not just at the full Senate level, but in the Finance Committee level. I mean, she didn't even let the small finance people talk about it. It never had any conversation at all on the Senate side. So, you know, she's a powerful senator. She has a lot of support. And obviously this process has shown that she is pretty dogged. And some might say ruthless, and you know, there has been nobody to cross her on this, and nobody to say, you know, she was wrong for what she did. People have said this is completely out of the ordinary of the way the political system in Richmond is supposed to work.
That's Eric Flack with us here in studio on Grant and Danny. So, where along this path did maybe Monumental overstep, or the governor maybe overstep, maybe? Because I get the sense that this was underestimated as a possibility.
Yeah.
Right? I never heard, yeah, this one person, if she just doesn't feel like it, no one will even debate it. You know what I mean? Like, different than it might get quashed in committee, or someone might vote it down, or there might be amendments that weigh it down, or you know, there might be a complicated process yet to come. I never thought, and maybe that was my own naivete, that this one person, literally as you said, wouldn't allow it to be discussed. Where were the kind of the missteps here for Monumental and maybe even the governor on this path, maybe underestimating that as well?
Early on.
Yeah.
Early on. You know, Lucas had said that she was somewhat, as we got into this and she had to come up with different reasons to say she was against it, she added to her list, the governor did not involve me soon enough. And I think that is a fair criticism, is that they got this plan together and did not do enough of the coalition building with the people in the legislature who were eventually going to have to, you know.
Who's they? Ted Leonsis and the governor?
Well, yeah, Ted Leonsis and the governor both. There is, and I'll give Tom Sherwood credit. He's a local guy. He's been around a long time, journalist. He just tweeted out from a source that yesterday was the first time that Ted Leonsis had ever met with Senator Louise Lucas. So he like made a last second attempt. But Governor Youngkin also had not really done enough.
Yeah, my frustration, I guess, when I heard all this yesterday was, look, I'm I'm no expert in the Virginia Senate, and I try not to delve into politics, both on the show and you know, when we're breaking down sports things. But I thought, well, it's really strange to me if one person is kind of going to prevent this larger conversation, and 25 years of memories for sports fans are being affected by one person's opinion in Portsmouth, Virginia, obviously a very powerful person as she is in the state Senate. But the rebuttal I got from a lot of people on Twitter, which is interesting, is I'm saying they should have at least had the debate, right? They should have at least been able to debate this, to try to sway some opinions, see that maybe it's not as bad for your constituents as you think. That wasn't allowed. And a lot of people said, well, what about the fact that there wasn't a lot of debate before the press conference?
Right.
That they just kind of strong-armed it, you know, and I mean Youngkin, whoever, monumental. But the idea being the lack of debate on the back end, which is my annoyance, they're saying, well, it wasn't like everyone was plugged in to begin with. How normal is that?
There have been missteps on the monumental and Governor Youngkin's side, absolutely, for sure. And nobody can really, you know, deny that. I asked a monumental lobbyist at one point, a guy who's working on this deal, a couple weeks ago, did you guys spike the ball before you crossed the finish line? And he said, no, we didn't do that. You have to make an announcement. You have to announce these sorts of deals. We can't come and have a whole bunch of secret meetings with a million different people. It's going to leak out. That's just not the way you do things.
That's what I wonder. Is that big press conference on the stage with the governor, this is a great day for Virginia, you know, the pep rally, essentially, is that normal before the engagement of all of the politicians? Or should that have happened before the press conference?
I mean, it should have happened before the press conference. And, you know, you can look as far back in history as Jack Ken Cook, who held a very similar press conference
That's
at
right.
the same location with Governor Wilder announcing.
Sports teams might want to avoid that location.
just say look elsewhere. just sit a couple plays out there.
That location's quickly headed toward 0-2 right now.
But, you know, I spoke with somebody in the mayor's office who said she was stunned that they held that press conference without what's known as a memorandum of agreement, an MOU, meaning they had a deal locked in place. And when they had that press conference and people thought it was very dismissive of the impact it was going to have on Washington, D.C., and almost gleefully celebrating this move and without actually having your, you know, T's crossed and your I's dotted, that was a fatal flaw and just allowed this thing to be brought down before it ever reached the finish line.
Quick one here before we jump to break. How likely is it that it's going to happen at this stage? Right now, this minute, percentage chance in your mind?
I give it 0%, because if the governor doesn't send it back, like, she's not going to relent at this point. And if the governor meant what he said in this press conference this afternoon.
So he spoke today and basically said he's got a Hail Mary he could throw and he's not going to throw it?
Basically. And some would argue that it's more than a Hail Mary. Now, I guess he could always reverse course on that. But there is a political process by which it's not part of this budget, but he still sends it back in April, I think, in some form or fashion. I won't bore you with the details, but he can do that. And he said he wasn't going to do that. He was angry. Luis Lucas, the senator, was sitting over his shoulder on the steps of the Capitol. And he said, there's one person blocking this. The House has done their job. They approved it. The Senate has not. It's all because of one person. They got to work this out or else it's going to cost Virginia big time.
Luis Lucas, the senator, by the way, has been posting memes.
Yes.
One of which is her with like a peace sign photoshopped on next to a grave. And the grave says Youngkin and Leontes' $5 billion arena. She posted a meme today that said, tell Glenn I want him to know it was me.
Yeah.
Danny's not big on the memes.
That's not my favorite part.
I mean,
that's me. That's not my favorite part. Agree, disagree with whoever. Totally fine by me. That's not my favorite.
I don't think that's a good look, and I think it actually, once again, continues to eat away at what is supposed to be a political process that's supposed to work to help everybody, and that's just not kind of like I hate to use the word decorum, but this conversation was more serious than that. I guess that's what I'll say.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. What happens is, and we're all guilty of this, I think, in our lives, when you agree with the person that's memeing, you kind of high-five about it.
Right.
When it's the person that you don't agree with that's memeing, there's an annoyance. And it'd be nice if we all just agreed all the time.
Right.
Maybe we could leave the memes out
Maybe
of it.
Maybe just don't meme. Let's go one day.
Leave the memes to the internet trolls. But here we are. If you guys have a question for award-winning reporter who's been covering this from the beginning, Eric Flack, 800-636-1067. Want to get as many of your questions answered on what's going on with the now unlikely arena in Virginia at National Landing. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. The arena that we thought was headed to Virginia doesn't seem like it is. Eric Flack, reporter, who's won awards for his investigative journalism at Channel 9, is joining us in studio to answer some of your questions and to get us educated on everything going on. 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in. Just to read through some tweets I'm getting here, and I want to get your reaction to some of these. A guy named Dan is telling me I'm dumb. He says, the real issue is that it was last-minute announcement by the administration that they didn't even include in the governor's proposed budget, but they expected the GA to simply go along with it.
Well, that's not true. The reason it wasn't in the governor's proposed budget was that it was initially introduced, the arena, as a standalone piece of legislation, a standalone bill, which, again, overwhelmingly passed the House and had bipartisan support in the House. Once Senator Lucas from Hampton Roads blocked debate in the Senate Finance Committee, which in turn blocked debate in front of the full Senate, they pivoted to adding an amendment to the budget to include the arena, which once again overwhelmingly approved it. Sailed through the House, and she again refused to put it into that budget version.
A lot of the feedback I'm getting, I'm sure, similar for you, Danny, is people saying, hey, Ted Leonsis is a billionaire. I don't think we should be paying for any part of his arena. And I think that we're kind of discussing why this thing died yesterday and the semantics and the specifics of like how that happened, the machinations of why it did. There is another conversation, which
sure,
is...
Sure, a good one to have.
Yes, and we've had it for months, off and on, but that is a very good conversation. People are saying, we're at a point now where a lot of fans and people in the country have just decided, pay for your own stadiums. And maybe that this is all part of that. Different conversation, but I think something that is relevant to bring up.
For sure. I love that. I'd love someone to say that instead of memeing various things with head superimposed on action shots or that type of thing. Again, like it's a BuzzFeed internet news. But yeah, there is a reasonable debate to be had. I'd love to have it.
Let's go to Marcus in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Marcus? How are you?
Hey, Grant, Danny, Eric. I'm doing all right. I just had a question. I wanted to know why, like, Maryland isn't playing a bigger part in here. I mean, they do have two football teams playing there and a baseball team. But I just wanted to know why Maryland isn't playing a bigger part. I'll hang up and I'll let you guys.
Thank you.
Good question.
What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, I think it's a great question. I think there was just no sight in Maryland. I don't think Maryland was ever part of Ted's
vision,
his game plan. You know, if you read kind of the background in the tea leaves, depending on who you believe, part of this was because part of all this potential to move to Virginia was because he had gotten frustrated with the city not ponying up for renovations at Capital One. Whether that's true or not true, or whether he was always going to go to Virginia, there was no like three horse race like there is for the Commanders Stadium. They found an alternative site. It was in Virginia. It was in the heart of this area where they had the land. It was also a complex that's going to include a lot of office space that's already being built by the developer, J.B.G. Smith. And Ted's vision, Leonsis's vision, is to have this like mega mecca headquarters with a new arena and also new office space and new studios for his network all in one place. And there just wasn't a Maryland alternative.
Let's go to Brandon in Kensington, wants to hop in on Grant and Danny. Brandon, it's G&D. We got Eric Flack from Channel 9 here. How are you, buddy?
Hey, how are you guys? Hey, Eric. Hey, Grant. Hey, Danny.
Hey, buddy.
How are you?
Good.
Real fast, I hate to get off topic. Was that a Beavis and Butthead drop?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I thought it was right up to the show. I thought it was a Beavis and Butthead drop.
Maybe. If it was on the last show, I don't know what they played, but I don't think we've done that.
I don't think we have one of those.
Oh, okay. Anyhow, sorry about that. How does Ted spin this and keep it in D.C.? So he looks like the good guy. If that's, you know, you never know what the future holds.
Well, if this thing's dead, this is actually really interesting.
Yeah, this is fascinating.
Yes.
So now what happens? Because D.C. came back to Leonsis after saying they weren't going to give him any money for a while.
Right.
Then they have the press conference and they're going to Virginia. And D.C., kind of within the 24 hours before that, found, I think it was $500 million.
Which remains on the table.
And still on the table, and he can use that at Capital Arena, presumably. But I want to get into if you now continue to push in Virginia, can you regroup, sit this out? It might take a year, it might take time, try to build up support. If they're going to do that, is D.C. going to and should they give them money knowing Virginia is still an option? So let's get into that next. We'll have Eric Flack's take on that on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.